And this day and this weekend is a celebration of freedom that goes into a different area. But there's an illustration that I told, actually I talked about this almost 2 years ago. Actually, I talked about it 4th of July, 2017, 4th of July weekend. How many of you remember me talking about the big black door? You remember that? That is a story that some people say actually happened. Some say it's a legend. I've researched the internet, and this story is just all over the place, and no one can say for sure whether this historically is accurate or if it is a legend, but the principle is the same. So I want to talk about the story of the big black door real quickly, and I'm going to go into kind of a different perspective than I did 2 years ago. But this story is about a general that supposedly was in the Persian army. And he was about to announce the punishment of a soldier who had been caught up spying against the Persian Empire. And this particular general was known for putting condemned soldiers through a process that no one could understand, no one seemed to understand at the time. And what he would do with his condemned soldier is he would take them to this big black door, and he would look at that condemned soldier and say, "You have a choice. You can choose what's behind the big black door, or you can choose the firing squad." And invariably, these condemned soldiers, not just this one on this event, but invariably, as this general would go through this process, the condemned soldier most of the time would choose the big black door. And this one particular occasion, an assistant to the general, after this condemned soldier chose the firing squad, this assistant to the general asked him, he said, "Sir, I have never known, and I have got to ask you, what lies on the other side of the big black door?" And the general said, "Freedom." Very often we choose the certain pain of what we can identify and what we know, as opposed to choosing to go beyond the fear of the unknown. All of us have experienced a big black door in our life at one point or another. That's something, that ominous thing that was in front of us, and we didn't know what was on the other side of that ominous thing. How many of you can relate to the fact that when we face those ominous decisions in life, sometimes we choose less than God's best because at least we know what it is. At least we know what it is. For many in our culture, there's a perception that the church is the big black door. And I know this, and I've experienced this many times over the course of my life, and I've even experienced it two different times this week. Fears that are being expressed by people in our culture. Two times this week I've had conversations with people that are scared to death of what they may find at the church. They're looking for God. They want a relationship with Christ, but they're not sure what is waiting for them in the church. They view it as their big black door, and they effectively have chosen fear of what they know over fear of what they do not know. The big black door, as it's perceived by many people in correlation to the church today, is that barrier that divides and insulates, and from the minds of the perspective of many people in our culture, they view the church as that big black door that separates the healthy from the unhealthy, or the healthy from the hurting. For many, however, the church is the big black door, the barrier that separates the good from the bad. The good people are on this side of the door. The bad people are on the other side of the door. And that door is the separation that many people have come to believe. I cannot cross that threshold. It's not worth the risk of the unknown. It's not worth the risk. And for many of those people, they have two primary fears. Fear number one, God won't forgive them because their sins are too great. Fear number two, the church won't forgive them or welcome them because their sins are too great. And so it's this thing that the enemy does. How many of you have ever had the devil kind of climb up on your shoulder and convince you that you'll never be able to step into that thing where you'll feel God's love, His peace, His grace, and His mercy, because I'm just too bad. I've sinned too much. I've gone too far. Has the devil ever done that to you? And so we don't talk about it. We separate ourselves, and we try to figure it out on our own. Genuine freedom is commonly experienced in the culture of honor and of grace and of love. Many of you know here that Robbie and I used to live in the heart of the birthplace of the Underground Railroad. And we knew a family there whose ancestors were slave owners. And when slavery was abolished, this family, as well as many other families across, culture of honor and grace and mercy. You say, how could anybody do that? How could our nation have done that? It was a part of the culture. And so slavery for those who were slaves was something that they didn't understand until they had been set free. And slavery shifted into servanthood. Slavery shifted to servanthood. What does that look like? The love and comfort that many of God's people experience on the freedom side of the big black door often comes from the feeling of inclusion, but those on the other side of the door are battling feelings of exclusion. In other words, should I go? Will I be welcome? Will I be looked down upon? Will I be looked down upon? Will I be a part of something, or will I be an outcast from within? These areas of mental and emotional bondage keep us from experiencing the fullness that God has. When we're loved and accepted by others, and when we get to experience genuine community in the confines of familiar surroundings, it's very difficult to even consider that there are people on the other side of the big black door. Those the enemy has convinced will never love us, will never care about us, will never accept us, will never welcome us in. True freedom in Christ often begins with an invitation to step into something that is unknown. The confusing part of this movement toward freedom is that it must include a willingness to be bound by something new. I want us to hold on to this. God wants to set us free from this area and these things, and they're different for all of us. Because something that maybe binds you or you feel is close to binding you is something that might not be even a temptation for me. And it's hard to relate to people or circumstances and issues that affect someone else if we've not had any experience and we don't know that pain. Again, true freedom in Christ will come as a result of our response to an invitation to step into something new. A willingness to be bound by something new, but it's more than that. It's a willingness to be bound by someone that we've never been willing to submit to or to surrender to before. This is Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14, listen to this. Paul is speaking. This is in the New Living Translation. Whatever we do, it is because Christ's love controls us. Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for everyone, we also believe that we have all died to the old life we used to live. Listen to that. Since we believe that Christ died for everyone, we also believe that we have all died to the old life we used to live. In order to be alive in Christ, we have to die to the old thing that had us bound before. But you and I are prone and we are drawn to this. You know what I'm talking about, and it's different for all of us. It's like this thing that I want to be set free from. Man, I'm not sure I'm ready to let go of it. But this looks so good, and we run over here and we say, Jesus, I want what you have. But man, there's something about this. I can't break free from it. And I'm drawn to this, but I don't want it. I'm drawn to this, I really do want it, but I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I'm strong enough. I don't know if I have the strength to walk that out. The verse that we just read in 2 Corinthians 5:14 clearly reveals that we are not free from Christ, we are free in Christ. And many of us say, I want freedom, I want freedom, I want freedom. But very often what we want freedom, the area that we think will give us freedom, is actually the thing that binds us. In the next passage, the next passage I'm going to read in Romans 6, we're going to start reading at verse 1. The Apostle Paul goes into great detail in describing the differences of being slaves to sin versus being slaves to righteousness. Major difference. Both slaves. Slaves in both of those categories, but slaves with a completely different motivation. Let's start reading in Romans 6, verse 1. Paul says, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound?" "By no means," he said. "How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." Man, that's good stuff. He's saying, I don't want you to die and stay dead. I want you to die to sin so you can experience life in me. Oh, and by the way, that's real life. Verse 6, "We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all." Man, hang on to this. He died for us so that we wouldn't have to live in a life that really, truly isn't life at all. It's a life that is controlled by death. The world says, no, man, this is the good life. This is the exciting life. This is the fun life. And Jesus is saying, no, that's death. That's not life at all. Verse 7, "For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God." Verse 11, "So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments." This is talking about your physical members, your parts of your body. "Do not present the parts of your body to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace." What then, Paul said? Are we to sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. "Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness." Paul said, I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. Paul was very aware. If you go into another passage later on in the book of Romans, Paul then confesses, he said, why do I do this stuff I don't want to do? I don't want to do it, but I do it. I know I shouldn't do it, but I do it anyway. I don't get it. Why do I keep doing the thing that I don't want to do? So Paul is laying out a template here, but later on in the book he's saying, look, Paul referred to himself as what? The chief of sinners. Probably by most people's assessment, if not the greatest Christian to ever follow Christ, he was one of them. And yet here he was saying, I can't get free from this without Christ. And I want to go a step further. We on this side of the big black door have got to fervently, intentionally, constantly embrace the fact that we have got to walk with people that are desperately hungry to be free, to be set free as slaves to sin. I don't know about you. I can't do it by myself. I need people in my life that are saying, Doug, I'm willing to walk with you through your trials and through the attacks of the enemy. And I've got to be willing to walk with each one of you guys to say, how can we do this together and trust Christ to really, truly set us free in order to be slaves to Him? Not slaves against our will, but slaves that are such because we love Him so desperately. Verse 21, but what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. Sanctification means to be set apart. It means to be consecrated. It means to say, okay, God now has done something I can't do on my own. So listen now to what Paul says about this in Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Right now you may be facing some big black door in your life. You may think that it's better to choose the safety of being by yourself. I don't want to take the risk. I'm going to keep myself separated. The enemy wants to convince you that that's freedom. There's a term that's not used very often, but it's prevalent in business, it's prevalent in culture, it's prevalent in the church, and it's a word called autonomy. Many of us, I'm sure, know what that word is. There are some that maybe aren't really familiar with it. Again, it's not used very often. But autonomy, I believe, is a demonically driven false form of freedom. Autonomy is, I'm my own person, I can do what I want, when I want, how I want, if I want. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm not going to answer to anyone. That is autonomy. Full authority to make whatever decision you want and nobody can tell you no. I want to tell you that's bondage. We celebrate independence in our nation. Christ celebrates dependence. Dependence on Him and interdependence on one another. Not codependence. We've turned interdependence very often into codependence. Codependence is dangerous. Dependence on Christ is important, it's valuable, it's profound, it's necessary. Interdependence on one another that we can't fully be who Christ has called us to be in the absence of relationship. We can't. And I believe Christ is saying interdependence on one another, dependence on me is freedom that the world can't offer. Behind the unknowns of the big black door is freedom and fulfillment that comes through Christ alone. When we can begin to experience that freedom, your life, your faith in, and your relationship with Christ will never be the same. I want to challenge you guys today to think about something maybe from a perspective that it's easy to not think about. I believe God's called us all to be set apart for His purposes. Do you believe that God wants us? Paul said, come ye out from among the world and be ye therefore separate. And we got to be careful because God is not saying sequester yourself away from the world. How in the world could we be salt and light? How in the world could we be effective carriers of the gospel if there's nobody to carry the gospel to, okay? But what He's asking us to do is to be set apart so that there's a difference that the world can recognize and say, and there's something about that woman. There's something about that man. There's something about that family. And it's... If we're not careful, we want to sanitize ourselves from the world. My daughter Faith, many of you know her, a lot of you know her here. There was a period in her life that she put that, what's that, hand sanitizer, okay. She put that stuff on her all the time. And she was sick all the time. She was sanitized. She was in a constant state of sanitation, and she was sick constantly. She didn't want to touch anything with germs on it. If she did, man, where's the stuff, you know? We're missing the point. We do that within the church today, I believe very often unintentionally, but we say, I can't touch that. That God is saying, no, I want you to be consecrated. I want you to be set apart, and I want you to get right in the middle of it. I want you to get right in the middle of it with understanding that there's a separation internally that needs to take place. God wants us to be salt and light. He wants us to engage with hurting people. And there are hurting people all around us. There are hurting people that are sitting here today. And God is saying, there is freedom for you. And He wants us to address the big black door in our lives. And every single one of you, I believe, every single one of us has a different big black door. And there is a fear inside of us that says, I believe there could be something good on the other side, but I'm afraid to knock. I'm afraid to knock. And then we begin to play the what if game. I believe God wants to give us a level of freedom that we've always longed for, we've always hoped for, and we wondered if we would ever experience. I'd like us to stand this morning, and the worship team will come forward. I am so grateful for the relationships that God is beginning to forge here. But as the worship team begins to play, just before we conclude our service today, I'd like for us to bow our heads for just a minute if we would. And I just want to ask, if there's anyone here today that could say before God, and our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, no one looking around, I want to be free. I want to be free. I want to be free from hurt. I want to be free from judgment. I want to be free from addiction. I want to be free from guilt. I want to be free from shame and condemnation. I want to be free, and I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to do it. But if you're here today and you say, I am ready to make these changes, I want to tell you, it's going to be hard. And you're going to have to let people into your life. You're going to have to. But if that's you today and you're saying, I want to be free, slip your hand up where you are. And by that, you're just saying, man, Doug, just pray for me. God bless you guys. Jesus wants to set us free. Free from anything that separates us from Him, and healthy relationships, and a place where we can be open and honest and say, I'm struggling, John or Jane, and I need some help. Can you come alongside of me and pray with me and walk with me? I believe that's what God's calling the church to do. It's who He's calling us to be. So Jesus, we're coming to you right now. You see the hands. You see everyone that was raised. And you see the hearts of those that maybe wanted to raise their hands and they just didn't. But God, you know. And I'm asking, Lord, that you would bring us to a place where we really, truly start caring about one another. And no matter what we do, no matter how we failed, Lord, that people can find grace in this church, because we all can find grace at the foot of your cross. Jesus, we worship you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.